proclaim your word, to speak faithfully about that burden that you have placed, to preach your word faithfully. I pray you would give us ears to listen. Would you please challenge and speak to our hearts today? In the name of your Son, Jesus, amen.
Amen. Well, hello. It's good to see you all. Yesterday, I had the opportunity of spending the day with leaders of your church, and it was just a real encouraging time. There are 8,000 people who worship God in the English language every weekend in the International Baptist Convention. There are over 60 churches in 25 nations in our family of churches. And it's a privilege for me to meet people in our family. It was a privilege to be here for James' installation this spring, and apparently I didn't do too badly. He invited me back. And so it's a privilege to be here this afternoon and to celebrate with you. And we'll be celebrating the testimony and the step of obedience of a brother in Christ as he steps into the waters of baptism. But before that takes place, I'd like to encourage us all with the mission that Christ left for each one of us. In 2020, Jackie and I moved to Frankfurt, Germany. We had been missionaries in Naples, Italy for 22 years, and our children grew up there. And not long after we moved to Germany, our youngest daughter decided that she was done with life in small town Pennsylvania, and she didn't mind being around her parents, and so she moved back to live with us. She came to Germany, and one of the reasons why she came to Germany is because Germany offers apprenticeship visas. And our daughter came, and we saw this excitement in our daughter. And she came, and you know, I'm sure you know, the first thing you have to do is learn the German language. And she was all excited about that. She threw herself fully into the classes, and she passed her B2 exam. And as things would have it then, we wondered, well, what's the next step? What's the next step? Is it an Ausbildung here in Germany, maybe with Lufthansa? They're looking for some flight attendants. Or maybe it's in baking. That's something that she loves. And then on a Tuesday night at one of our river groups, the pastor said, have you ever thought about being an apprentice in our church? And we, again, saw our daughter light up as she had an opportunity, and now she's stepped into this apprenticeship role in our local church. Apprenticeship is well known to Germans, right? And it's an old concept. Jesus' disciples were Jesus' apprentices. And it turns out that they were part of God's plan for giving more and more people an opportunity to become Christ's followers. I would like you to consider with me today the vision that God has for us as his church. And it's a vision where the who clarifies the how. The who clarifies the how. We will be looking at the Great Commission, Jesus' last words to his disciples. And as we do so, we will consider the unlimited capacity that the church has to accomplish the mission that Jesus left for us. In Matthew chapter 28, we'll start in verse 16, where we read, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. This is after Jesus' death and resurrection. This is a time where his disciples are coming back together. There are many times in Scripture where God's people went to a mountain to spend time in the presence of God. And here are the disciples of Jesus back in his presence. We read, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. What did they doubt? Doubt, according to one commentator, is to be uncertain. Doubt can mean that we think that something may not be true. Or it may simply mean that we're wavering. Next slide, please. And so what were they doubting? Sorry, you were right and I was wrong. So you can go back to the other one. Good one. What were they doubting? Could they have been doubting the resurrection? You might say, how could they doubt the resurrection? But it's a possibility. All along, they had doubted what Jesus said that he would do. That he needed to go to the cross. But that after he went to the cross, he would be buried. And after 3 days, he would rise again. We know that Thomas needed to have tangible proof. Even though he saw with his own eyes, as they see here, Jesus. Maybe the doubt had to do with the resurrection. But I think what they were doubting here, and another possibility is that they were doubting God's plan. Could this really be the end of Jesus' ministry? This timeline places this event around 30 AD. And if you know the timeline of Jesus' life, he actually was born before Christ. And so about 30 years into his ministry, he begins his ministry, which lasts for about 3.5 years. And so this is at the tail end of that 3.5 years, about 30 AD. And Jesus here is ready to leave. Next slide, please. And so I believe that the apostles, the disciples, are doubting God's plan to make more disciples. Jesus' ministry was brief. Only 3.5 years. Could God really have intended that it would be Jesus' followers and not Jesus himself to make more and more followers? It was a daunting task. Jesus was telling his followers, make disciples. Go and make disciples. It's something that he had introduced to them initially when he met them. He said, I will make you fishers of men. And he had spent 3.5 years with them. But a brief time. And during that time, many times, they came face to face with their own limitations. And so it isn't surprising to see them doubting. It isn't surprising to believe that they might wonder, is this really God's plan? This is how it's going to take place? But this also represents an incredible increase in capacity. Jesus was perfect in his disciple making. Jesus' disciples would not be perfect in their disciple making. But as long as ministry was confined to Jesus, God made flesh, God become man, it would be limited to a geographic place. It would be limited to a certain amount of people. But by leaving his disciples, by allowing them to carry on the mission, Jesus was beginning to unfold God's plan for an unlimited capacity, an unlimited increase in disciples. Next slide, please. Why did Jesus need to leave? Well, the first answer is that he had completed his part. In chapter 27, the chapter before this, in verse 64, we read, so give order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first. The first deception was Jesus claimed to be the Messiah. Jesus claiming to be God. Jesus claiming to be the promised one that Israel had waited for. But the second deception being referred to here is Jesus' claim that he would rise from the dead. And this was one that the authorities in Israel feared. They knew that he had said it. They probably didn't believe it, but they wanted to ensure that nobody would. Consider the implications of the resurrection. Other religious leaders had led movements. There had been other religious leaders who were great teachers. Jesus was not the only one to do miracles. But Jesus claimed to forgive sins. Jesus claimed to be God. And if this is true, then you and I and everyone else has to respond to Jesus. Jesus lacked nothing. He was the God-man. He lived his life in perfect obedience. His disciple-making efforts were perfect. He was the most effective disciple-maker ever to walk this earth. But he had accomplished his work. And it was time for him to go. Jesus could leave because he had completed his work. Why else was it time for Jesus to leave? Because Jesus completes his work through us. Jesus completes God's plan through us. And this is where we come to the Great Commission, what is called the Great Commission. Jesus said, came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." Let's unpack this together. The disciples are there on the mountain with Jesus. They have doubts. So does that make this a suggestion? Is this perhaps then unclear? This is an unquestionable task given to you and me if we are disciples of Jesus Christ. It's a command. Jesus begins by saying, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Jesus makes it clear that when he speaks, these are the words that we are to obey as his followers. He says, "Go then," or "as you go." The assumption is that as we go and as we live and as we work and as we engage with our neighbors and as we engage with our family, as we go, we will make disciples of Jesus Christ. Will we do it as well as he did it? No. But that's his intention for you and me. That's the potential he sees in our lives. Baptizing them. Baptism is an outward manifestation of an inward reality. It's a representation of what has already taken place in salvation. The fact that we belong to Jesus. And so we declare publicly, as Jesus was himself baptized, we take this step of obedience and declare publicly that we are his disciples. And it's such a privilege that Jesus gives to us to baptize others who become followers of Jesus as we are. And finally, go, baptize, and teach. Teach for obedience. Jesus' desire is that you and I become more and more like he was. He was perfectly submitted to the will of his Father. He was perfectly obedient in every way. That's something that we can learn. And the hope that we have is that he places his spirit inside of us so that we live it out in his power. We have the ability to obey the Father. Make disciples. You 11. You used to fish for fish. Now you have become fishers of men. 11. There are some who have taken the time to do the math, and I don't claim to be a mathematician. You can check this math. You can find it on the internet. You could probably chat GPT it if you want. But if one person reached 1,000 people each year for 9 years, how many people would they influence? That one's easy, right? 9,000 people. That'd be amazing. Imagine reaching 9,000 people in 9 years. But what if you were to make 3 disciples this year? And then next year, those 3 disciples would each make 3 disciples. And you would make 3 more disciples. What would that math look like in 9 years? It would be 20,000 people. So 9,000 or 20,000. Do the math. This Great Commission represents an incredible increase in capacity. By making disciples through you and me, we have an opportunity to see more and more and more and more people become disciples. And it's not just about us making disciples, but about our disciples making disciples. And that's where the addition turns into multiplication. And we begin to see exponential growth. And that's why Jesus had to leave. And that's why you and I cannot fail to fulfill our purpose as Jesus' disciples. Jesus commands us to go and make disciples. Now we, like the disciples, might have our own doubts. Knowing ourselves, maybe it's your personality, maybe you're an introvert. You don't easily make conversations with people you don't know. Maybe you have your own doubts. And you know those hard questions like, how can a good God allow evil in the world? That one always gets us, doesn't it? There are certain questions that are very difficult that we all have to wrestle through. Sometimes we don't know what we'll say in the moment. There are many reasons why we might have our own doubts about God's plan to make more and more disciples through people like you and me. But let me give you a further verse that Jesus leaves with us, the last words that he says that should give us the confidence that we need to finish the task. Why did Jesus have to leave? Well, he really never did leave. He says, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." After saying these words, within a short time, Jesus would return to his Father. But he would leave with us his Spirit to live within us. And so the reality is that while Jesus did leave this earth, he never completely left his followers. And he is with us. He promises to be with us to the very end of the age. And so that's why Jesus leaves us to finish the task. Jesus finished his work. Jesus went to the cross to do what you and I could never do. Because of our sin, we were separated from our holy God for eternity. There was nothing that we could do to reconcile ourselves to God. And so Jesus came and became one of us. And he took our sins on his body to that tree. And his body, he was crucified there to pay for our sin and guilt. And then rising again He experienced victory over sin and death for you and me. And the only thing that is left for us to do is receive the gift of salvation that God offers each one of us, based on the work that Jesus did for us. He finished his work. He went to the cross, and he also prepared his disciples to go on, to carry on that work. And so he commands us still today, 2,000 years later, people like you and me to finish what he started. But he goes with us. He goes with us. And we can depend on him. And so why must we make disciples? First, because it's God's plan to make disciples of Jesus through disciples of Jesus. That's his plan. And so we must make disciples. Secondly, the defeat of Golgotha, the defeat of the cross, the apparent defeat, which is why I put it in parentheses, as one commentator says, is transformed into the triumph of Galilee. Within a short distance, within a short amount of time, we go from that tragic day, or apparently tragic, when Jesus was on the cross, to when he's handing this great opportunity to you and me, showing us the potential of our lives, showing us the purpose for which we're here. The Great Commission, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I commanded you, is a command from our Lord. He has all authority from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And why must we make disciples? The final reason is because he's in us and he's with us always. A couple weeks ago, I was in Naples. I was in Pozzuoli. And we had rented an Airbnb. We were back down visiting the church where we served for many years. And Booking.com, the article there wasn't exactly clear. Or maybe it was clear, but we didn't understand it. We thought we were getting a whole place, but we only got two rooms. And then there was always this third room where we had different people coming and going. And I admit, I had a pretty bad attitude about that. But one day I was on the balcony, and through the curtain I saw a guy come out of the room and make his coffee. And I said, "Buongiorno, piacere, Tim." And he said, "Piacere, Alessandro." And I said, "Lord, give me an opportunity to speak to Alessandro." A couple days later, we were getting ready to leave the Airbnb and head over to church for an afternoon with some of the church people. And I walked out on the balcony to check the weather. You know what I'm going to say, right? Yeah, 90 minutes later, I got up. Alessandro is from Milan. He was in Pozzuoli for work. He stayed in that room. He grew up in a home where his parents had never taken him to church. He had some exposure to church people. He had a lot of questions, some of the normal questions that people have. God gave me an opportunity, in spite of my bad attitude, to spend an hour and a half with someone who doesn't know Jesus. I don't know what will happen with Alessandro. I have his WhatsApp number. God's plan is to make disciples through people like you and me. And that's not because we are always ready. It's not because we have the best answers. It's not because our attitude is always the best. But God, by his grace, uses people like you and me to make more and more disciples of Jesus Christ. To him be the glory. Father, thank you that we get to lead others into your kingdom. There are many things that we can invest our lives in here on this earth. There are few that are as exciting and rewarding as seeing other men and women submit their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, to recognize what he has done for them, to make him their Lord and Savior, to join us in our family, in your family, where we will spend not only our time on earth, but our time in eternity together in your presence. Lord, you are so good. You give us this chance. You could have chosen many ways to make disciples, and you chose to use us. May we respond, Lord. May it not be a burden. May it not be something we feel guilty about. May it be a motivation that comes out of our deep gratitude to you for our salvation, our deep love for you. May the love that you have for us, that you've placed in us, become abundantly clear to those around us. Lord, help us to be ready for our busy schedules to be interrupted, for our plans to be interrupted. Lord, may we see people around us not as objects in the car next to us or the S-Bahn. May we see men and women who Jesus died for, people like us who need to become followers of Jesus. Lord, may you be pleased to use us to bring more and more into your kingdom. We pray these things for your glory. Amen.